Know your opponent. That's what I want us to think about today. Sherlock Holmes and his assistant, Dr. Watson, went camping. And after enjoying a great day out in wide open spaces, they pitched their tent and went to bed. Sometime about the middle of the night, Holmes woke Watson and he said, "Watson, look up at the stars and tell me what you deduce." And so Watson, hoping to impress his boss with his brilliance, his own brilliance, he said, "Well, I see millions of stars. And if even a few of those stars have planets, it's quite likely that some of those planets could be similar to Earth. And if those planets are somewhat similar to Earth, it's just reasonable to assume that there might be life on other planets." Well, Holmes just kind of stared hard at Watson for a few moments, and then he said, "Watson, you idiot, somebody stole our tent." Okay. You know, about dinner time, that'll catch up with some of you. Has anyone here ever noticed that times can get really tough at times? Things can get really tough for us. And have you ever felt like that there are times when nothing comes easily? You know, that's with our physical life, but what about your spiritual walk? Does it ever seem like to you that sometimes in your spiritual walk you take two steps forward and three steps backwards? And sometimes with me, it just feels like I take steps backwards. You know, I don't take the steps forward at all. When you look at what's happening in our society today, it just seems like we're all fighting a losing battle. Society in general just seems to be getting further and further and further away from God, and it just seems to be hopeless. It seems that the church is losing the battle on all fronts. And it seems that those who have this anti-God agenda are just winning everywhere you look. And many Christians are feeling bruised, they're feeling beat up, and they're just feeling defeated. And you may be really struggling with some issue in your faith even this morning. And somewhere along the way, you were made to think that life would be a whole lot better if you gave your life to Christ, but you found out it's just not that way. You found out that life is not what you thought it would be, and the battle rages on with you everywhere you turn. And there are temptations at every turn. There's temptations at every time you open the door. There's temptations every time you just get out of bed of a morning. And you see, here's what it boils down to. It comes down to this very thing. We're at war. We're in a war every day of our life. And I don't think we really understand that. During the Civil War, a Union soldier from Ohio was shot in the arm. And his captain saw that he was wounded, and he barked out the order, "Give me your gun, private, and get to the back of the lines." And so the private handed over his rifle, and he headed north seeking some safety, and only to find out that he went 2 or 3 yards and 100 yards, and there was another skirmish. He ran east, and he found himself in another part of the battle. He ran west, and he encountered more fighting there. And finally, he just turned around and ran back to the front line shouting, "Give me that rifle back, Captain. There ain't no rear to this battle anywhere." And you know, folks, that's just the way it is. This battle is everywhere, and there is no rear to the battle. The section of Ephesians we're getting into right now deals with the armor of God. And before you gave your life to Christ, you were in a war against God. But when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become engaged in a war with God against the devil. The enemy is trying to recapture you. And he wants you to get you back on his side. And if you're going to wage this war successfully against the enemy, there are some things you need to know. And number one, you need to know your opponent. Read our text with us this morning from Ephesians chapter 6, picking up with verse 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, and in the heavenly places. If you know your opponent, you're going to realize how important it is to know where you get your strength from, where your strength comes from. You need to know that. Verse 10 there begins with encouraging us to be strong in the Lord. That word be strong means to be empowered. And, you know, we are encouraged to let the Lord give us power to live life. Give us power to fight this battle that every one of us in. Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And another way of saying that, I can do all things through him, through Christ, who empowers me. We'll all go down to defeat if we decide that we are just going to do this battle all life by ourselves. We're going to be defeated by the one who can only be defeated by Jesus Christ. You know, our U.S. soldiers are fighting over there in Afghanistan and Iraq and all those places over there. But they're empowered for battle by the U.S. government. These soldiers didn't decide, I'm going to go over and fight. No, they didn't decide that. They were empowered by our government through the military to fight. And the soldiers know that their power and their strength comes from the training and the support that they receive from the military. And even when these soldiers are fighting on the land, there is other aircrafts above them that are there to assist and to strengthen them in their fight. The only way you'll win a battle in this life is to fight it with the Lord Jesus Christ on your side. And we must understand our power comes from him. Throughout the Old Testament, when the Israelites went into battle, God made it clear that he was the reason, he was the cause for their victories. When God was helping Gideon get men ready to go into battle and fight against the Midianites, Gideon came up with 30,000 men. And listen to what God said to Gideon there in Judges chapter 7 in verse 2. He's the word the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hands have saved me. 30,000 people, that was too many. God said, I am the one who is going to bring about this victory. I am the one who is going to be praised for it. You see, we are not meant to fight the battles of life all by ourselves. We are not meant to be out here in life all alone. We are meant to gain power. We are meant to gain strength. We are meant to be empowered to fight the battles. And the Lord is the only one who can do that for us. When you get into a battle in your life, you need to let God strengthen you. And you need to let God's people know that you need some help. You know, we are here for each other. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go in and tell every little thing about your battle that's going on. But we're in situations in life. We're in difficulties. We're having struggles. And we need each other to get through the struggles of life. That's what it's all about, lifting each other up. But if we don't have Jesus Christ as number one, we're going to be powerless. Over in John, the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, in verses 1 through 5, Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." You can do nothing. Are you struggling? Are there difficulties in your life that you just can't explain? Are there times when you just feel like, I'm at my wit's end? Have you let Jesus Christ fight for you? When you know and understand how big your opponent really is, then you know you must depend upon God for your strength. Well, number two, when we know who our enemy is and how big he is, then we need to know some facts about the enemy. We need to know some facts about what that enemy uses to deal with us. Verse 11 begins by encouraging us to put on the full armor of God. And we're told to put on that full armor of God so we'll be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. The full armor of God includes more than something just to cover us up. It includes things that will help us to fight. It includes things that will protect us. It includes things that will enable us to do battle from the offensive standpoint. The reason being is so that we can stand. We can stand against these schemes, these wiles of the devil. The word standing firm. That is a military word that was used in that day and time that meant to hold position. Don't give up any ground anywhere. Do not let the enemy come through here. Do not let the enemy take this away from us. Hold firm. Stand firm right where you are. Don't lose anything. And many of us start our walk with God, but we are trying to hold on to some things in the past, and we're still trying to hold on some things in this world. And these things will just drag us down, and we begin to lose ground, and we begin to lose that firm stance that we once had because we have hung on to things that will destroy us. The goal of the Christian is to stand firm, not to surrender, not to give up any ground. But that means we've got to give up the past. We've got to turn it loose. We've got to let it go. When we give up, we've gained. But you know, if we don't give up and we lose, it's even harder to get it back. If you're going to fight successfully against this enemy, the devil, we need to know some of the schemes that he's using against us. You know, the devil doesn't tell us just how terrible his consequences are going to be. He doesn't walk up to us and says, tell us all about these things. You know, one of his schemes is deception. If you recall back in the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, when Satan was trying to get Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit, what did he do but use deception in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. In verses 1 through 6, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Satan tricked Eve into eating the fruit. Now, he didn't say, Eve, you know, I would like for you to eat of this fruit, this so that you will be separated from God. Eve, I want you to eat this fruit so it will cost you this beautiful home you have here in the Garden of Eden. Eve, I want you to understand that when you eat this fruit, you're going to become submissive to your husband. Eve, I want you to understand now when you eat this fruit that your husband is going to have to till the ground. He's going to have to make a living by the sweat of his brow. And oh, by the way, Eve, when you eat of this fruit, you're going to open the door so sin can come into the world and it's going to destroy the whole world. Eve didn't hear anything like that, did she? You look today, one of the things that the devil is being very deceptive about. Look at the beer commercials on TV. You know, they're slick. And they're impressive, aren't they? Drink all you want. You drink the right beer, and you're going to be recognized by the right people. Now, they don't tell you how many people are killed on the highways because of the drunk drivers and the use of alcohol. They don't tell you what can happen to the body after you've drank alcohol for a long time. They don't tell you about the families who have been destroyed because a father or a mother has become an alcoholic. They don't tell you about the wino who lives out in the streets all by themselves and stinks so bad the flies won't even follow after them. They don't tell you about that woman who gets raped because of alcohol and the use that's out there. You see, the enemy uses deception everywhere he possibly can. 2 Corinthians 11th chapter in the 14th verse tells us Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Well, Jesus called Satan the father of lies. John the 8th chapter in verse 44, it says, "You are the father, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." In our text script, he uses the idea of wiles, of schemes of the devil, meaning that these are things that are cunning and they're full of deception. And the word used to describe an animal that is very cunning and how they slip up on other animals to make their kill. And that's exactly what the old devil is doing to us. He is very cunning and he slips up on us when we're just unaware, and he knows where we hurt the worst. He knows where we're the least defensive. He knows every little thing about you. Don't think he doesn't. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." Satan will do anything he can to ruin you. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verses 4 and 5, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God, to bring every thought into captivity to obedience of Christ." Don't let the devil use his schemes on you. Well, thirdly, if you're going to defeat the devil, you need to know who you are fighting. Now, I've heard my brother Bob say that one of the hardest parts of fighting the Vietnam War was the fact that it was so hard for them to determine who was enemy and who was friend. If you're going to fight a successful war, you need to know who you're fighting. And one of the things that Christians have done is to declare war on the wrong enemy at times. You see, people are not the enemy. The battle is on a higher level than just this body of flesh. Look at verse 12 again in our text there. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Each one of these things that Paul mentions here are just different parts of the devil's army. They are we're all locked into this spiritual battle. We are all dealing with these horrible things that the devil is throwing at us and using on us and causing us to do. And people are victims of the enemy. People are not the enemy. And I know some people willingly participate with the devil. But by vast majority, most of us have just been deceived. And if we're fighting a prize fight, we know what to do with that. You know, you can train, you can beat the stuffings out of that punching bag and do some sparring and lift some weights and what have you. And get ready for the battle. But that you can't do that in this battle that we're talking about. There back to 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Not carnal, not fleshly. But they're mighty in God. We've got to understand that we're fighting a spiritual battle that is against spiritual forces, and we have to resist blaming people and go after the real source of the battle or the fight, and that is the devil. And he's trying to destroy us. He's trying to destroy our concepts of God. He's trying to cause us to destroy each other. You see, the devil's trying to take over our minds and bring about that stinking thinking that's out there in the world today. Most of us don't take time to read our Bibles. Most of us don't take time to study our Sunday school lesson. Most of us don't take time to fill out our Wednesday night Bible study books. And most of us, many of us, don't even encourage our children to be in Sunday school. Many of us don't even encourage our children to read their own Bibles. You see, we would never dream of letting them skip school. But when it comes preparing for eternity, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we preparing for? How did Jesus fight the devil? He fought with Scripture. And how should we fight the devil? With Scripture. You see, far too often we are guilty of underestimating our enemy, and he has lulled many of us to sleep. The battle we're fighting is much more dangerous than anything that's going on in some war-torn country today. We're in a spiritual battle for the very soul of man. Your soul that you come in contact with, my soul. We're in a battle for our soul for eternity. Now, do you know your opponent? Do you know who you're fighting against? Are you prepared for the battle of your soul? If we understand our enemy, we can better fight him. And the only way we can fight him is through Jesus Christ. So whose side are you on this morning? Whose side are you fighting for? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ in total surrender? You see, that's why we've come to this time of decision, that you might examine your own life and that you might think about knowing who your opponent is. That you might be able to defeat him no matter what he does, you win. But understand this. The battle has already been won. You see, when we join forces with Jesus, we're fighting with the one who has won the battle for eternity already. He gave his life on that cross. He died. He was put in that grave, but he came out victoriously, defeating death for himself and for you and me for eternity. And making a way that we can be with him. This morning, have you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you been baptized in him? Are you living daily for him? Know your enemy. Prepare to fight him. Don't give ground to him. Don't let him fool you with his lies. If you have a decision, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?